Before I start off, I also want to share a testimony from last weekend. What was really good, what you said, John, was today what I want to share is actually how we start to put into action some of what we've been talking about with the value series. So we'll come on to that in a minute. But first of all, a testimony. Because I think it picks up on quite a few of the values that we've been talking about over the last few months. Lots of you will know that I've been training to run the London Marathon, which is in 2 weeks. And last Saturday, I was doing my last long training run when I got injured, which, having run 440 miles since January the 1st, when you're running practically the last mile that is really contributing to your training, it's somewhat disheartening when you break down. And I was a few miles from home, so I thought, well, that's okay. I'm not going to be a hero. And, you know, I could still run. I just thought, this is hurting. And if I keep running, I'm just going to make it worse. So I will stop. I'm not training for today. I'm training for a few weeks. Hopefully, if I stop, it will be all right. So I was walking the few miles home, and I'd walked a few hundred yards up the road. And as I cooled down, my knee was kind of hurting more and more and seizing up, and I couldn't walk. I was kind of hopping along and thought, right. So I had to call Tanya, who came to pick me up, and I said, just beware, I'm going to be in a terrible mood for the rest of the day. So I did all the things that they say you should do. So I kind of rested, I put ice on my knee, and I elevated the limb, and I took ibuprofen and did all the stuff that they tell you to do. But actually, moving around was not very easy last Saturday. We had some friends around who had kids, and they were playing in the garden, and they were like, oh, can you get this? Can you get that? And just like I was hobbling around, it was really, really uncomfortable. But worst of all was stairs. Either going up or downstairs was really, really painful. So I had to kind of keep my leg totally straight and just kind of go up one stair at a time. You're thinking, well, this is all very well for just kind of pottering around the house, but I'm supposed to be running 26 miles in a few weeks. This is not a good place to be. So anyway, got through Saturday. Sunday morning, I'd had a night's rest, but I still was not moving easily. Coming down the stairs in the morning, the same thing. Walking, you know, with my leg totally locked because there's just no way you could step down a stair. And even as I came to church, we've got like one step outside the house, and I couldn't do that. It was painful. And we were a bit late last week in kind of true Woody fashion, and we parked up by Co-op, and just walking from the Co-op to here was really painful. The same places that had been hurting when I was running were really hurting, and I came in and we were over there for worship, and I stood up for the first song and I was like, I can't stand up, this is hurting too much. So then, interestingly, Marv was preaching, and he said something about my running in the preach and kind of looked at me, and I was not in a good place for anyone to be commenting on my running ability, to be honest. It didn't go down too well, and he had no idea, because at this stage he didn't know that I'd hurt myself. Anyway, we went on, and there was an opportunity for ministry at the end, and I'd actually come forward to offer to pray for people and didn't get prayer. But what I wanted to say about this was, I thought, it's okay, because tonight there's a team from Bethel coming, so I'll come then, and they're like super duper at doing ministry, so I don't need to get prayer here. You know, we've got the experts, we've got the pros coming. And then we went out to the coffee room, and this is where I think I feel like God taught me something about this. Is we, you know, I got coffee and I was chatting to a few people, and, you know, all people talk to me about at the moment is running. I'm just a one-trick pony, seemingly. Marv came up, and a few people had come up and said, oh, how's the training going? I was like, well, actually, not very well right at this point in time. But Marv just said, well, let's pray for it now. Which is really interesting, because I know that John, when he spoke about the word a few weeks ago, he was saying, well, how often when we go out to coffee do we start to talk about which bits of the Bible have impacted us? How much do we talk about our faith? Or are we just going about talking about the, you know, the small talk and stuff like that? But we were talking about, and Marv knew that it was kind of important to me, but he was like, let's pray for it here and now, you know, in the middle of coffee, which is exactly how it should be. And so I sat on one of those kids' tables, and Martin and Melvin prayed for me. And I don't think, it felt like Marv was like shoving my knee, and I kept opening my eyes to look, just saying like, go easy. And he did, there didn't seem to be any force coming from his hand. Anyway, they just prayed. It was, you know, nothing spectacular. There were no fireworks. But straight after that, Matthew, my son, came up and he's like, "Oh, these are the things that Oscar Twell did in Bodybuilders. We need to take them home so we can give them to Laura." And I said, "Oh, we don't need to do that. She works here. We'll just put them on our desk." And I was able to walk straight up two flights of stairs to upstairs, straight down two flights down, with absolutely no pain whatsoever. And I was able to walk back to the car at Co-op with no pain whatsoever. So I just wanted to... The reason... I think one was about expectancy, which is one of our values. I was kind of thinking, well, the people from Bethel will be able to come and pray for me. And I kind of underestimated getting prayer just from our own people and thought, I'll leave it to them. But actually, God was saying, no, you don't need to wait for these special people. And it was great that they came, and it was a great time last Sunday evening. But don't go away thinking, well, they've gone now, so we won't have it the same. We've got the same God as they've got. And we've got people who've got the Holy Spirit inside them and the authority of Jesus that can pray in the same way that they can. The other thing that's been really good is then I went to see a physio on Monday because, it's one thing being able to walk around. It's another thing being able to run for 3 or 4 hours on it. So I went to see, or it might well be 5 or 6 now. And so I went to see a physio to get checked out. And he was like, well, tell me what's happened. So I told him the story about how I got injured and all this kind of stuff. And he knows some of the history because I've seen him a few times. And then I said, oh, you'll probably think I'm crazy, but I got prayer at church on Sunday. And since straight away I could walk up and downstairs and I could walk without pain. And then another friend who I've been doing some running with, and she goes to what I would probably describe as a fairly... nominal church in Wales church. So, you know, they go through the process. I'm sure there's lots of good things there. But I said, she's not, I wouldn't say, it's hard to say, but, you know, her faith maybe doesn't mean the same kind of things as we would describe it meaning. And I said, oh, yes. She said, how was your knee? And I said, well, and I went to church this morning and they prayed. And then I could walk up the stairs and back to the car. And she's like, wow, that is amazing. I love your congregation. The looks I would get if I asked people to pray for my marathon injuries. And I was able to share when, luckily, June offered to lend me her exercise bike so I could do some training that wasn't so impactful and was, yeah. But I was able to share when her husband was there as well. And so it's given me an opportunity to share the good news, which is another one of the values that we've got. So there's a number of things came out of that that I just wanted to share at the outset, that it's actually about putting into practice these things that we consider to be our values. And I'm sure there were some other things that I was going to describe, but yeah. Please do continue to pray, because running 26 miles on it, it's not 100%, but I can go about all my daily life, and that really changed when those guys prayed for me last Sunday morning. So, on to my message, and if Chris is listening back to this on the tape, because we found out the other day that he listens back and times people and then gives you some feedback on how long sermons are, so that doesn't count. So we'll net that off, and we'll start the timer from now. So as you know, we've been looking at a series of values, and this is kind of a very brief recap, but really setting out where do we go now. It's not quite a preach. All the previous ones where we've talked about each one in turn, we've looked at a passage from the Bible, and we've kind of expounded that and how that underpins the value and the set of values that we've set out for ourselves as Woody. But today, there is some biblical content, but it's really quite practical about how do we take these forward. What's the point of doing this? It's all very well kind of setting out these values, but they're not just there so that we've got a page on our website that says these are the values. What is the purpose of them? So we just want to go back a stage, and we've kind of talked about some of this in the preamble to each of the sermons, but I think it's quite useful to just really set the scene about where these came from, what they are and why they are, and therefore what do we do with them. So the first point, We've referenced that it came from something in a church weekend several years ago. A guy called Julian Richards, some of you will know, he's a pastor at a church called Cornerstone in Swansea. He's also the leader of New Wine Cymru. And he came to speak to us, and he gave us two illustrations and two phrases. The first was a phrase called "culture eats strategy for breakfast." And it's actually was made famous by a kind of business guru called Peter Drucker, and the Ford Motor Company used it. And he said that once, and I remember that it sort of resonated with Gerwin, and Gerwin has mentioned this on a few times. And it came back to mind a couple of years ago. I went to, it was actually in Cornerstone Church in Swansea, where they would broadcast an event called the Global Leadership Summit that's run by Willow Creek Community Church. And they would get all kinds of speakers, both Christian and non-Christian, to talk about and develop leaders. And they had a guy called Laszlo Bock, who was head of HR in Google. And Google grew so fast that that was quite a significant role. And I picked up his book, having heard what he had to say. He was really engaging speaker. And he's got a chapter in his book called Culture Eats Strategy for Breakfast. And he said, the first time he heard that, he thought, what a load of rubbish. How can that be? And the whole chapter in that book is how he's come to realise, and with Google's experience, that actually culture is really important. And the culture stems from the values that underpin that. So it's a bit we talk about, coming from within, and who you are shapes what you do. And so it's those values that actually need to shape your behaviour. And that starts to shape your culture and how you are and how you interact with one another, and particularly as a church, how we are. And that needs to start to shape how we do, what we do. You can't just kind of impose a strategy on saying we're going to do these things when it's totally out of line with your culture. So it's really important for us as a church to say, well, what are our values? And how does that shape our culture? And in turn, how does that shape the things that we do? So that's the first thing. And the second thing is then this cake that we've been banging on about. Interestingly, Emily went to a birthday party, my daughter, yesterday, where they had one of these cakes. Tanya's got a slice of it, because they even gave us a slice. Tanya was like, wow, that's what we've been talking about in church for the last few weeks. She's like, every sermon, she's like, I'm just hungry at this point, when people start talking about it. And Julian talked about chocolate cake, which we've talked about before, about how wherever you cut through and you experience the same thing. And we kind of developed that concept a bit when we were thinking, how do we illustrate this series with these layers? And actually, there's multiple values that build up what we are about. We've got 12. The other thing that I think is important here, and I don't want to stretch the metaphor too much, but as I was praying about this and thinking about this, I was like, what about the icing? But actually, I think it's quite important. Covering all of that and running throughout every layer is the icing, which is grace. And I think that's really important as we start to think about these, and I'll mention it again, but this is not a new list of actions that you have to just kind of make a new law. One of the, in Real and Authentic, I think in some of the text, it says, there is grace, we will make mistakes. That's what we're about as a church. And so don't think we've got to hold fast to this. This is like the new Bible. It's not. There are a set of things that are important to us, and we're going to look at how we can use them. But throughout all of this and covering all of this is grace. And so we need to keep it in perspective. So that's where the kind of genesis of this idea of culture and values came from. And in terms of the list and the values that we've identified, where did those come from? Again, a few people have alluded to, about 14 months ago, the elders had an away day, and it was about the time when Gerwin was stepping down from being an elder. And it was about the time that a few people were moving on from Woody, and we knew that they were moving to other parts of the country, and kind of, you know, a number of us were feeling that quite acutely. And I think we've moved into a new season from then, but right there and then we were saying, well, what are we about? What's important to us? And we sat down and we were at a place called the Cwm, which some of you have probably been to, which is a really nice space to just get away from some of the normal routine and just have to focus on other stuff and to focus on God. And we spent a session kind of amongst the elders working out what are the things that we value. Some of those are things that are very specific to Woody. And they've shaped some of the values, some of the things that would probably be common to other churches like ours. Some of them are things where we know that they should be important to us, and people have spoken them into the church life, and we've had kind of words from God about them, but we haven't embedded them as fully as we might have done. But we kind of knocked that around there, and then as we came back and over the course of the last year, we kind of wrote that into a bit of a document, and if you go on our website, you'll be able to find it. And we tested it with a few people in the fellowship, and then we were kind of, how are we going to take this forward? So we decided we would preach them, and then we would invite further comment. So its genesis was in that meeting. So in terms of those categories I just said, some things that are very specific to us. So there's one that Chris spoke on a few weeks ago about equipping and releasing. And releasing is a really important thing. At that time, we were going through that stage of people moving on from Woody, and we wanted them to leave well. We wanted to bless people out. But that's been a trait of Woody for many years because of the fact that we're in the student community. And we've had people that would come for a few years and then they would move on to other things. Dave shared the picture of us being a bit like a train station, and a train would come along and drop a load of people off and pick another lot up and they would move on. And that's always been about that. So it's really important for us that it's right at the heart of our identity as a fellowship and as a church, that we will equip and invest in the people while they're with us, but we will also bless people as they go. And us, maybe more so than some other churches, know that people will move on. And we need to build that into our DNA. Some of them probably pick up other churches that are a bit like us, but others have different emphasis. So we've got valuing the word, we've got valuing the Holy Spirit, and we've got valuing serving the community. It's kind of social action, the gifts of the Spirit and the Bible are all really important to us. Some churches might have an emphasis on one more than the others, but that captures something of what Woody is all about. And some of the things we want to embed, the Holy Spirit, we know that there's more than we're experiencing. But testimony, for example, has been spoken over us a number of times. How do we use testimony more? And that's one of the reasons Annabelle made space for it today. As leaders, we want testimony to be at the heart of who we are, that we speak of what God is doing and that inspires faith in the rest of us, that we can do more, and that in turn will build more things to testify about. The other thing to say about these 12 values is they are not an exhaustive list. As I said, they don't replace the Bible. They don't replace all the many things that Jesus teaches. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not an exhaustive list of being a Christian. It's not some academically rigorous statement of faith. But it's something to help us as a church to be consistent and to reflect what we value as important and what we believe is relevant to Woody in this place at this time. So what's the purpose then of it? I think for leaders, and this isn't just for the elders, this is for all people who are involved in leadership and even in serving in different ministries, it helps us assess, are we embedding these values? Do we live by these values? Do they shape what we do? For each person in Woody, they give us an opportunity to hold leaders to account. They give you an opportunity to understand what Woody is about, to understand how you can contribute, but also personally. Woody is not the building. Woody is not the sum of our ministries. Woody is the people. So how, as individuals, are we living by these values? How are we relating with one another using these values? And for people who are maybe exploring church or looking for a church. Now, yes, they could go on our website and see the values written down. What I would rather is that people who encounter us and have encountered us a few times and spent some time could go and read that list and say, yeah, I see that. That is the Woody that I'm experiencing. A few years ago, I read this book. This is how exciting I am, called The Checklist Manifesto. The subtitle is How to Get Things Right. I'm quite like these kind of pop psychology books. Just to endorse it, it says on the back, it honestly changed the way I think about the world, the best book I've read in ages. Who would think that's about checklists? That is a fairly reputable person commenting on the back as well. But this is about how, in really highly complex situations, the checklist has become a really valuable tool. So in aviation is where it really first started. And they were trying to fly planes, and various things can go on, and they got more and more technical. So we know a lot of stuff about the science, and there's really skilled pilots, but still, they would just make basic errors, and that would generally be the cause of crashes. And so they started to do checklists just to make sure they're doing things right. It wasn't teaching them how to do it on the fly. It was about checking that you're doing the right things. And they started to use that in construction as well. It's how we can build these huge skyscrapers and they don't fall over. You don't want to build it and realize you made a mistake on the second floor and you've got to take the next 75 floors down again to correct it. And they use it a lot in surgery. They were realizing, you know, you've got really skilled surgeons, they know what they're doing, they've got loads of experience, you've got all kinds of people in the room, but simple things were being missed. Some of the things they introduced were even like, just when you had a team come together to do an operation, you would introduce yourself to one another so you knew your names. And it meant that actually people realized they were people and not machines, and reminded you that there's fallibility, but also that there's relationship. So checklists have become used widely. If you work in all sorts of other settings, you've probably got quality assurance procedures and things like that, which just seem like a massive, massive faff. And probably in lots of situations where it's not life and death, like aviation and surgery and construction, they maybe aren't used in the way that they should be. But ultimately, I think that's kind of a bit of an illustration of what the values can be for us. We've sat down and we know the stuff, and we know they're right, but are there times when we will just then forget to do the basic things, and you look back and you say, well, we know that prayer's important, but where is prayer in our fellowship? Have we just let it slip our mind and we've forgotten to do it? So we've identified some things that are really important to Woody, and we believe God has spoken to us. But let's make sure that we're doing them. So it's a tool, something of a checklist. When I worked, I worked for a big global kind of corporation for 11 years. And one day, everybody was issued with a new mouse mat with our new values on. And we had five values that I still can't remember to this day. Because it was all very well having them on a mouse mat, but they had absolutely no influence over what we did. It was never explained where they came from. They were kind of the sort of bland corporate nonsense that you would probably, you know, I think teamwork was probably one and all this stuff. But I was never in a meeting where someone said, well, how do the values shape how we respond to this? Is this decision in line with our values? I was never in a meeting where that was ever talked about. They're just hidden under my mouse for a few years until they issued a new mouse mat with something new on, you know, some picture of a building in New York or whatever. I don't want the values, and as elders, we don't want the values of Woody to be like that, with no practical application, that don't influence what we do, that aren't recognisable. That if someone looked at that organisation, I don't think they would have described it by those values that were written on my mouse mat. So we've deliberately provided in the written kind of text some practical applications for leaders and for individuals. Again, that's not exhaustive, but we didn't just want some fluffy words that became a kind of, you know, here's five bullet point mantra that we all live by that no one can get a handle on. I think so often you could say, oh yeah, serving the community, and everyone's like, but what does that mean? I don't live in Cathay, so how can I serve the community? And I think Annabelle unpacked that really well. What does that mean? Well, it might mean serving in one of the ministries in Cathays, but it means serving in the communities in which you live and you work and you study. And it might mean prayerfully committing to pray for some of those ministries. It might mean deliberately and consciously financially contributing to the work of the church. Not so that you can say, well, I've chucked a few quid in and now I'm off the hook. But actually because you say, no, I'm going to serve the community in this way. I haven't got the time to spend at the moment, but I can serve the Cathays community. But where I am, I will serve that community. So we wanted to give some practical expression to that. But there's a word of caution. As I said, and Gerwin said similar, this is not a to-do list that we need to come at with our own power, in our own strength. And we look at and we say, yep, doing, I'm fine. All is fine. That is not what it is about. It needs to come from the right place. So I'm just going to read a passage from John 15. Which says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So it's not about trying to achieve a set of behaviours in our own strength. But we don't want to be complacent. Our behaviours need to flow from who we are in Christ, from our relationship with him. So as you work through the list of values, and I'd encourage you to do that, don't do that and think, right, well, here's a couple of bullet points of what I need to do. Spend time with God. If you're in a prayer triplet or in a life group or some other mentoring relationship where you kind of got some level of accountability, maybe you can work through it together and say, well, these are the areas where I struggle. I'm just not good at sharing my faith, or I'm not good at prayer. And a bit like Gary shared a few weeks ago with the story from Bruce Almighty and the illustration from that film when someone was like, oh, but I'm just not patient. And what will God do? Will God just give you some massive endowment of patience, or will he give you situations where you can practice those areas? And I think there's a lot in that. And as well as what Gerwin said about this remaining in kind of illustration and the root and fruit, as he called it, when John spoke, he was talking about the word. He was saying, what he really heard God saying was, I want you to know Jesus. And Martin, last week, on Romans 12, that passage about the renewing of our minds. Where this all comes from is from knowing Jesus and knowing the Father, knowing his word, letting that minister to us and change us. So just a quick summary of the 12 values. As you remember, each week we've put up, or the person speaking has generally put up, the section that describes the value in some detail and what we kind of mean by it, and then some responsibilities for leaders and for individuals. But just, I don't think we've ever put them up as kind of a set of 12. But we value, as Woody, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, prayer, being real and authentic. I know for me, that's when I first came to Woody 20-something years ago now. But just knowing that the elders at that time, when they would stand up and preach, there was a kind of a reality. They didn't present some kind of facade as if everything was brilliant. they would be really open about what stuff was like. I think that's a real key trait of Woody that we need to grasp hold of. It's why people can come in and feel welcomed and at home. Faith is not just a hobby. We're not a church where you just turn up at Sunday, do an hour, go away. We want faith to be something that captures all of our lives, and to that to be demonstrable to people we come into contact with, sharing the gospel and making disciples. Worship, testimony, being generous and stewarding as a church and as individuals, being expectant that we will equip and we will release as people move on, and we will release the gifts that we've got for the benefit of others, and serving the community. So what happens now? As I said, it's on the website. Just as we've been going through this whole process, we have amended some of the text, because as we've got into some of the biblical passages, we've kind of said, no, what we wrote isn't quite right. Let's tweak it. And we see this as a live document. It's one of the reasons we haven't printed it all up into a brochure and handed it out, because we want to see this as a living document. And so having it online allows us to do that. But what I would encourage you to do is go and look at that. Spend some time, consider what we've written, and we would really value your comments and your feedback. Have we missed something that is a key part of Woody? And you're like, no, Woody really values this. You haven't captured it. We could easily have missed something. Or is there something that you read that and you think, that really grates, and it doesn't feel like Woody? So have a look. Pray through it, and please do pass comments back. And thank you to a few people as we've been going through the series who have fed back. We will take that into account, and we will look to revise that where we think that we need to. Also, if you're leading a ministry or you're engaged in something that we do at Woody, work through them and say, well, how does this ministry reflect these values? Are there things we could do to improve that? And Annabelle and the Little Acorns team and Laura, quite early on, before we started this series, took the list of values and sat down in one of their team meetings and said, well, how are we doing with this? And they looked at opportunities where they could strengthen that. And Annabelle might want to say some of what she said at the elders' prayer meeting this morning about how some simple ways they could do that. And that's actually changed the way they go about doing stuff in Little Acorns. And I think that's the same for life groups, for how we work as elders and deacons, for all the community ministries we do, for student work, whatever it is, for all the kids' work. Have a look at how are we demonstrating these values? Are we living them? If these are what are important to us, are we putting them into practice? And look at them individually, as I said, whether you're in a prayer triplet or a small group or in your quiet times. Just spend some time, and maybe you'll find an area and you think, yes, that's something where I know I'm doing that from a good motivation, but here's an area where I'm a bit weaker. And ask God to help you to work through that. If you haven't got someone to be accountable to and you'd like a mentor or someone like that, speak to Annabelle. I'm sure she'd love to try and match you up with someone. And we will do the same as elders. We will say, how are we doing with these? If these are what are important to us, does Woody reflect these? And we will take responsibility and say, well, are we living out these leaders' responsibilities? But also personally, are we living them out? So we've preached for probably the last 2 or 3 months on these, but that's not the end. We see that as kind of the start of this process. And please do challenge us. If you think that it's now just a page on our website that never sees the light of day and has no influence, challenge us on it. Please do. It's just the start as we work this out. I'm just going to pray, and then Annabelle will come back. Father, we thank you for Woody. We thank you that you've planted us in this place, that you have prepared good works for us to do as a church, as well as individually. We thank you for these values that we have heard so much about over the last few weeks. Would you help us to embed them in the life of the church? But Father, ultimately, they need, and our behaviour needs to come from our relationship with you. Would you grow our desire to know you more? Would you grow our desire to read your word, to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to pray, to worship, to serve, to be generous, for all of those values that ultimately, as a fellowship and as individuals, we would be more effective in winning souls for you. That we would see people come into the fullness that is available to them from knowing you. Not that we just have a club that we can say, yeah, we're doing really great at our fulfilling the values that we want, and we're keeping it to ourselves, but ultimately that we would, through all of our lives, see people impacted by you and the life that you can bring. In Jesus' name, amen.